hands down, I believe, very confident when I say this, I believe it's the best privacy and security guide on the internet.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You want to learn how to best protect your online privacy without going crazy because you know why privacy matters to you. You've come to the right place. Over the past 3 years, I've been developing what I would consider the best privacy strategy, striking the right balance between convenience and security. It's not necessarily about the tools and apps, it's about a process. I call it privacy by compartmentalization. Among the top researchers in cybersecurity, security by compartmentalization is considered to be the most effective way to protect information assets. It stems from an assumption that any system, no matter how secure, will eventually get breached. Nothing is perfectly secure, and time is always on the side of the attacker. This strategy applies even more to average users. In order to function in a modern internet-driven society, you have to give up at least some information. The goal of privacy by compartmentalization is to take control of who gets access to what information and prevent adversaries from getting access to the whole package, but only to the information necessary to deliver a desired function. The easiest way to understand this is to simply consider how you don't want some information about what you do with your friends or in private to be known to your employer or business partner. Today, I will teach you how to engage in both activities but prevent adversaries from either side from learning about them. Privacy by compartmentalization is very simple. You will create virtual compartments where you concentrate carefully separated pools of data. Each compartment will revolve around a different sphere of your identity. The more security you want, the stronger walls between your compartments you'll build. The first compartment is for your personal identity to separate your business email and work-related activity from the rest of your online presence. The second compartment is for your social media so that you keep those advertising giants away from your digital life outside of their platforms. The third compartment is for your private identity, where most of your light browsing, news reading, watching YouTube, and making online purchases happen. When you become familiar with this practice, you can build more compartments, but this is what we'll start with. The goal is to minimize the possibility of linking one pool of data to another. If somebody knows your professional identity, they wouldn't be able to figure out what you do in your social or private spheres. And likewise, even if information from your private sphere falls into the hands of your adversary, they wouldn't be able to tie it back to your real identity. An adversary doesn't have to be someone with hostile intentions. It's simply anyone who can or wants to get access to your information. It can be your service provider, the government, a health insurance company, employer, friend, neighbor, hacker, or your spouse. Why do you need to compartmentalize? Because modern technology can use a combination of cookies, tracking scripts, advertising IDs, and advanced AI to collect data from across multiple channels, from mobile to desktop, across different platforms and apps, online and offline. Without compartmentalization, each time you visit a store, go to a website, or install an app, you are giving up your entire record from the past into the future. So how do we build compartments? By completing maximum possible separation in choosing our providers and who gets to see our data. For this reason, we're gonna get out of the ecosystem trap, because that forces us to put all our eggs in one basket. We don't want to entrust one provider with everything we do. That means in each compartment, we are going to use different software from different providers where possible and make sure we limit and block as many tracking attempts as functionally feasible. Let's build the first compartment, professional identity. This is where you want to put all of your real name, real identity, work or business related activities. Each compartment is gonna have to have its own browser. The first one, and the most recommended, is privacy-hardened Firefox. There are some mandatory add-ins to install, as well as tweaking some settings to hard-code privacy into the browser itself. The simplest way is to install 4 privacy extensions. uBlock origin, HTTPS everywhere, decentralize, and cookie auto-delete. There are other extensions available, but this combination will do everything we need. uBlock Origin will help you block ads and trackers, but we'll use it in a slightly advanced mode to build better walls around our professional browser. We need Cookie Auto-Delete to delete cookies that can track us across websites and sessions. Make sure you set Auto-Clean to be enabled and harden some settings if you want. Both HTTPS Everywhere and Decentralize are more or less install and forget, so we'll leave them for now. Change Firefox settings so that you always browse in private mode and set up content blocking. This means goodbye to the browsing history, but it's necessary if you don't want your browsing habits to be tied to your real identity. Use bookmarks to remember websites to visit later and acquire the habit of closing your browser frequently to delete all the cookies and trackers planted on your device by websites you visit. You can also go to About Config and hardcode some privacy settings into Firefox. You'll find all of these on the privacytools.io website. For uBlock Origin, I have a dedicated tutorial if you want to master this tool. But for now, I would recommend to use it in a medium mode and block scripts. Go to the dashboard and check the box for I'm an advanced user. Check all privacy settings and also disable JavaScript. Open uBlock Origin menu and turn the rectangles next to third-party scripts and third-party frames red, and hit the padlock icon to remember your changes. We just gave uBlock Origin a global rule to block requests that are not coming from the first-party domain, that is the domain you see in your URL bar. Sometimes you might have to re-enable JavaScript to bring a website's functionality back. In the bottom right corner of the menu, click the icon that says Enable JavaScript on this site, hit the padlock and reload the website. In rare cases, you might have to enable third-party requests as well. The quickest way to unbreak a website is to just give uBlock Origin a local rule by turning rectangles for third-party requests in the third column gray. When you hit the padlock, uBlock Origin will remember to allow third-party requests on this website, but it will keep blocking them everywhere else. If you want, you can be more granular with this by selecting individual requests to allow instead of enabling everything. To learn more about this, just watch my tutorial or read the docs, which I will leave the links for in the description. If you need to use an email from Gmail, Yahoo, or other big tracking company, make sure you move it to a privacy-friendly email client. The best ones out there are Thunderbird and Claws. Even though both Firefox and Thunderbird are privacy-respecting, they are provided by the same Mozilla Foundation, so you might want to turn to Claws if this troubles you. Best mobile open-source email client is Canine, followed by Fair Email. It's good to separate your email accounts from your browser entirely. It allows you to be connected to your accounts while using Firefox to browse the web without having it tied to your identity. If you can't do that for whatever reason, then just unbreak your email website the same way as shown before. Remember that if you are logged into your account on a browser, your provider and website you visit could still track you through real-time cookies that get paired to your email account, which is why you have to close your browser frequently. Change your default browser to DuckDuckGo or Startpage to pull Google results but more privately. On mobile devices, use DuckDuckGo browser app. Make sure you don't do anything in professional identity compartment that's not related to your professional activities. That means use this browser only for work-related stuff and nothing else. For a work email, I recommend ProtonMail. A paid version gives you extra features and even an ability to use it with an email client. Or you can just use their free mobile apps. Transitioning to a new email address is easy. Just set forwarding of all emails from your old address to a new one, and each time you respond to your contacts, they'll immediately know of your new email. Good alternatives for professional messaging and video conferences are Wire and Jitsi. Building the second compartment is easy. We are going to create a new Firefox profile for desktop with the exact same settings and add-ins. Just go to About Profiles, create a new profile, and name it Social Identity. You can also rename your default profile to Professional Identity. Open root directory and copy all the files from your default profile to your social profile. If you want to be extra sure none of the browser data are shared, you can manually change all the settings again. You will use this profile only for your social media accounts except for YouTube. If you want to step it up, you can disable all third-party requests globally. This is where I would recommend applying more granular tinkering and only allow scripts specific for each social site. Only allow Reddit scripts for Reddit, Facebook for Facebook, etc. Remember that all your likes, shares, comments, and views will be recorded, stored, and sold forever. How you use your social media is not always up to you, though. When you install mobile apps, these are able to pull insane amount of data from your phone, including your location, biometric data, files, messages, contacts, and media. One way to mitigate this is to sandbox web versions of your social media sites through an app called Web Apps. Web Apps gives each social media site its own sandbox, where a site runs with all third-party requests, scripts, and cookies blocked, with forced encryption and eliminated referrers. If you want to use social media, it's important to keep them in a separate compartment and reevaluate how much information you're willing to trade for the benefit you receive from using them. Never browse the web or do anything on the same browser dedicated for social media. On your phone, set up Firefox Focus or Firefox Clar to be your default browser for opening links. It is also crucial that you don't use any of your professional or real name emails for your social media. Using them makes you more vulnerable to hacking through social engineering. Set up a randomly looking email address with Tutanoda and register your social media sites with it. Tutanoda has nice desktop and mobile apps, so you can use it without ever accessing your email in the browser. One exception could be Facebook, as ProtonMail has partnered with Facebook to send PGP encrypted notification emails, which is a useful security enhancement. Just don't use your work email, but set up a new ProtonMail account just for Facebook. Almost all major social media sites will request your phone number. The only reason they want it is to get to know all of your social contacts so that they can study your social graph. To mitigate this, the best practice is to just get a burner phone. Burner phone is a regular throwaway brick phone or dumb phone from back in the day. Pick one that's cheap and doesn't have any GPS, Wi-Fi, or Bluetooth. Get a new, preferably pre-activated SIM card. Buy it anonymously in a local store and only use cash to top it up. You won't have to spend much because you won't use it for neither calls nor SMS. It will only serve to give social media a throwaway phone number that's not tied to your identity and your contacts. This shouldn't cost you more than $20 altogether. If you want to keep your social media, I would at least recommend to ditch their messaging apps for Signal. Signal works with your phone number, but all your chats, voice, and video calls are end-to-end encrypted by default. Signal also doesn't record your contacts, conversation list, location, user data, and sender information. On Android, you can also set it to handle your SMS. You don't have to give Signal your phone number. It can be any number as long as you have the means to receive the verification code. The last compartment we'll build today is for your private identity. This is where everything you do in private belongs. Your general browsing, watching YouTube videos, reading news, and even your online purchases. The best way to keep your browsing record is to become anonymous. The most competent tool for this is Tor Browser. Tor is also available on Android as a two-step solution with Orbot to route traffic through Tor network and Rfox to browse the web through Tor. Any Android app can be rerouted through Tor via Orbot if they support it. An iOS version of Tor browser is Onion browser, but is not a part of the official Tor project, so be aware. Implementation of Tor is much safer on computer infrastructure rather than mobile. You shouldn't expect the same level of anonymity on mobile simply because your computer doesn't connect to a cellular network or GPS. There's only one strict rule to never break while using Tor, and that's to never change any default settings and never install plugins, themes, or extensions. Just use it as it is. The only two things you are encouraged to change are the Tor network settings in case Tor is blocked by your ISP or the government, and security settings in case you want to harden your anonymity even more. It is recommended that you gradually learn to operate in the safest security level. This will disable JavaScript by default. Here, you'll have to learn how to operate NoScript to re-enable JavaScript where you need it. I have tutorials on both online anonymity and NoScript, so be sure to check them out if you want to learn more. For starters, all you have to do to unbreak specific scripts is to move them from untrusted to trusted levels. On more complex websites, you might have to do that multiple times to regain needed functionality. Online anonymity is a different concept than online privacy, but here, we use Tor to compartmentalize our basic searches, light browsing, and news reading. I would also recommend to use Tor for preliminary research when you want to buy things. When you choose a product you want to buy, just copy its link and open it in a regular Firefox and finalize your purchase. As a side note, avoid using your professional or social media email for online purchases. Create a new account with MailFence that doesn't have your real name. By creating a separate email address just for purchases, it will make it harder for advertising algorithms to crawl through your purchasing record. Using Tor with your real name identity is a waste of time, and it gives you little benefit. If watching YouTube videos is a big activity for you, then I would recommend a Chromium-based web browser. This can be either Brave or Vivaldi. In my recent experience, I found that Vivaldi can be better configured for privacy protection using the exact same four horsemen of privacy extensions. Under privacy settings of Vivaldi, make sure to opt out of Google Safe Browsing and keep your browsing history for session only so that all browser data is deleted after you close it. Block third-party cookies and disable WebRTC leaks. Now, when you build your compartments, the rest is a matter of building strong walls. One key step is to secure your identities against hackers. A good enhancement is to have a unique and strong passphrase for each online account. I recommend using KeyPassXC or Bitwarden to generate complicated passwords and store them securely. If you want, you can use it with a browser extension to manage your passwords and handle autofill. Passwords are useless without two-factor authentication. However, SMS verification is not secure anymore. You need to use either authenticator app like free and open source endOTP or use an authentication key. Best authentication solution is provided by NitroKey. You can use NitroKey Pro for one-time passwords and NitroKey Fido for universal two-factor. Another way to make sure your walls are strong is to choose providers that are transparent and respect your freedom. You should start migrating to free and open source software wherever you can. Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator have alternatives in GIMP and Inkscape. Microsoft Office can be easily replaced with LibreOffice. Best cloud storage and syncing solution is provided by Nextcloud. Contacts and calendar can also be synced with EatSync. To find more open source alternatives, Evdroid is a fantastic replacement of Google Play Store for a free software repository. Use it to find privacy-enhancing apps or just look for free software alternatives to replace your proprietary apps. Now that you have properly separated your identities from your online presence and carefully selected and segregated your service providers, there are two things that connect the dots about you: your IP address and your device. Partially, we've already addressed the IP problem with Tor browser. Tor network makes your IP address untraceable. However, Tor is not useful with online accounts, high media content like watching YouTube videos, and can be harmful for online banking and financial activities. This is where VPN threat model becomes useful. After you had taken steps to compartmentalize your digital self, a reputable virtual private network can be helpful at masking your IP address and hiding your browsing habits from your internet service provider. Unfortunately, using a VPN requires a lot of trust, so there is no single provider to recommend. You should make your own research and choose from what works best for you. As a general rule, don't use free VPNs and don't subscribe to providers from the Five Eyes Surveillance Alliance countries. A good source to scale different VPN providers is thatoneprivacysite.net. All of your compartments are still carried by a single boat. Technically, you have at least two internet-enabled devices, but one is usually just a copy or an extension of the other. Mobile and personal computer. With strong compartmentalization, you've eliminated your attack surface to your devices. Chances are, you're either using Windows, macOS, Android, or iOS. Your next big goal should be to replace these ecosystems with platforms that are open and respect your freedom of fully owning your software and having total control of your data. This is easier to do on desktop than mobile. Linux has come a long way over the past few years. It is becoming a viable choice for an increasingly wider scope of people. Blackmagic Design is killing Adobe's grip on creators by porting versions of their Fusion and DaVinci Resolve software to Linux for free. Lightworks also provides a professional video editor for Linux. GIMP, Inkscape, Krita all work flawlessly on Linux and can powerfully replace mainstream proprietary creative software. Steam is supporting Linux with more and more AAA games releases every year. Linux is a diverse platform, providing no one unified operating system, but a plethora of different combinations of kernels, desktop environments, and application packages. It makes a healthy digital environment that's sustainable long into the future. The sooner you migrate to Linux, the more advantage you can take from its system. The easiest way to start experimenting with Linux is to use a virtual machine. Just download VirtualBox from Oracle and play around with Linux Mint, Ubuntu, or any other distro that piques your interest. Linux Scoop is a YouTube channel that features all major releases of popular desktop environments and Linux distros. I would recommend starting with Linux Mint Cinnamon. Just download the ISO file and create a new VM. Select Linux and choose Ubuntu 64 because that's what Linux Mint is based off on. Allocate around 2 gigs of RAM or more if you have the resources. Hit start, select the ISO file, and let it boot. You can safely install it within the machine without affecting your system at all. As you get familiar with virtualization, you can actually move your compartments to different virtual machines. Even better compartmentalization solution is to use Hunix inside a virtual machine. Hunix automatically routes your traffic through Tor and makes it much harder to track you outside of the Tor browser. The ultimate tool for compartmentalization is CubesOS, an operating system built with compartmentalization baked into its core. CubesOS is a bit beyond this tutorial, but I will leave a link for a video introduction to Cubes in the description. Cubes creates a virtual machine for every application you run inside it, which significantly reduces the attack surface and makes your device so much more resilient even if the attackers have physical access to your device. MobileOS doesn't really have such alternatives. The closest thing to it is to install custom ROM like LineageOS and run it without any Google apps. Purism is going to start shipping Librem 5 phone this April. It's the first truly free, secure, and privacy-focused smartphone with true mobile integration of Linux. I highly recommend getting your hands on one. One last advice is to encrypt your entire devices. All major platforms offer device encryption, so take advantage of that. Linux enables you to easily encrypt your entire operating system upon installation. The best file encryption software currently available as free software is Veracrypt. It's very easy and straightforward. You can use it to encrypt individual files, your home folder, or entire partitions, storage drives, or even your operating system. Remember, privacy is a process, so you always have to update your knowledge and remain eternally vigilant about your data. A good YouTube channel for more privacy tutorials is TechLore. He makes great tutorial series called Go Incognito, where he'll hold your hand through the entire process. He's got a very educational, good teacher approach, while my approach is more akin to... ah! We also have a new subreddit, r/thehatedone. Follow the community there and post your comments and questions regarding privacy, security, and anonymity. You can also make and discuss suggestions for next videos. Be sure to check the links in the description, and good luck on the front lines.